eKatra Podcast Conversations, for the curious essential knowledge, simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. Welcome, curious minds, to the deep dive. What if the very fabric of your reality isn't solid, isn't fixed? What if it's actually a story you've always believed? That's the, well, the mind-bending idea we're plunging into today. It might just change how you see everything. I'm definitely ready to explore this.
And I'm thrilled to be navigating it with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, today our journey takes us into David R. Lohr's really profound book, The World is Made of Stories. The title, it sounds almost simple, doesn't it?
It does. Deceptively simple.
Exactly. But the implications, as we'll start to uncover, they're anything but simple. Lohr basically argues that the entire world we inhabit, you know, what we think of as objective reality, it's largely just a collection of narratives, stories we collectively construct and importantly maintain.
Right. So it's about how the stories we tell ourselves personally and, you know, as a society, quite literally shape our lives, our beliefs, our future, and understanding why this matters right now seems critical.
Absolutely critical.
Think about those really powerful master narratives that often trap us. Humanity, stories of, say, endless economic growth, or maybe nationalistic superiority, or this belief that humans are somehow separate from, even above, nature. These aren't just abstract ideas. They're the actual scripts that lead directly to the social, ecological, and, well, spiritual crises we're all grappling with globally.
Precisely. So this deep dive, it's really more than just an intellectual exercise. It feels like an urgent call to awareness. Our mission today is to unpack Lohr's core thesis, to show how these stories, both the obvious ones and the ones that are kind of invisible, influence every single facet of our existence.
And most importantly.
Most importantly, yeah, we'll explore how recognizing this power, this narrative power, allows us to consciously choose. And maybe even create new life-affirming stories. Stories that can guide us toward, well, both personal liberation and collective healing.
Okay, so to guide us through this intricate landscape of narrative and reality, we really couldn't ask for a better thinker than David R. Lohr. He's a distinguished Buddhist philosopher, a prolific writer, and an inspiring teacher. What makes his perspective so distinctive, so powerful, I think, is his unique position. He's a scholar practitioner, deeply rooted in the Zen tradition. He doesn't just study these ideas academically. He seems to really live them.
Yeah, what's remarkable about Lohr is exactly that ability to bridge ancient Eastern wisdom with, you know, pressing contemporary Western challenges. He holds a PhD in Buddhist studies and philosophy, taught all over the world. And he's renowned for connecting Buddhist concepts like anatta, the idea of no self, or paticca samuppada, which speaks to the radical interdependence of everything.
Interdependence, right.
He connects those to modern psychology, environmentalism, social criticism. He's a major voice in what people call socially engaged Buddhism. That's a movement trying to bridge that ancient wisdom with the really urgent social and environmental issues we face today.
And that's where his authority really comes from, isn't it? It's not just the academic rigor, though that's there. It's also decades of contemplative practice. You know, meditating, engaging with Zen teachings.
Right.
And this lets him synthesize deep philosophical inquiry with genuine lived experiential insight. He's literally aiming to see through the very stories he writes about. It gives his work this incredible authenticity.
Definitely. So, okay, let's get to the heart of it. What is Lohr's central premise in The World is Made of Stories? Fundamentally, he argues that what we experience as, you know, objective reality is, to a very large extent, a composite, a collection of narratives that we as a collective construct and uphold.
So stories don't just describe the world.
Exactly. They actively create it. They shape our perception of it.
Yeah. Okay. That's a huge idea.
Right.
If stories create reality, then what's the point of knowing that? Why does it matter?
Well, Lohr's answer is that simply recognizing that human experience is inherently narrative, that it is story-like, can be incredibly liberating. It can free us from limiting beliefs we might not even know we have. And at the same time, it empowers us to actually craft more meaningful, compassionate, and ultimately more sustainable ways of living.
So it's about realizing we aren't just living in stories.
We are the stories, in a sense, or at least our experience is structured by them.
Sure.
The book itself takes you on this really fascinating intellectual journey. It starts with how stories shape individual consciousness, how we organize society. Then he delves into the deeply personal stuff, showing how our sense of self, our identity, is basically a narrative construction.
The story we tell ourselves about ourselves.
Precisely. And then he expands outwards, looking at how collective stories shape entire societies, cultures, even big historical movements.
And it all leads somewhere practical.
Yes, absolutely. It culminates in very practical applications.
Yeah.
How consciously engaging with our storytelling capacity can help address today's biggest challenges, climate crisis, social inequality, you name it. The core insight really is that spiritual awakening, that personal transformation and global transformation aren't separate things.
Yeah.
They're both acts of waking up from the story and learning to become masterful, you know, compassionate storytellers of a new, maybe more desirable reality. It's truly a book for anyone curious about those deeper patterns shaping human experience.
Right. Let's zoom in then on some core ideas from Loy's argument. Starting with this premise, the narrative nature of reality. He explains human consciousness is fundamentally narrative. Stories are the main way we organize experience, create meaning, establish identity.
They're not just add-ons.
No, they're like the operating system.
Yeah.
He uses the Buddhist concept of emptiness, shunyata. And you said, don't think of it as a void, right?
Right, not nothingness. Think of it more like phenomena lack fixed, independent existence. Like a character in a play, the character isn't real on their own. They exist only through the script, the actors, the audience's perception. It's all interdependent, arising through relationships, narrative relationships.
So what does that mean for our reality, our sense of self even?
Well, that leads right into his section on the self as story. He argues that what we call the self, that feeling of I, isn't some solid permanent thing inside us. It's actually a story we continuously tell and retell. Your identity is literally a narrative you weave about your past, present, future.
Wow.
Yeah. Drawing on Buddhist psychology, he shows that this sense of a fixed I is a construction maintained mostly by habit. And here's the liberating part he emphasizes. Recognizing this can actually reduce a lot of that ego-driven suffering, that feeling of lack, you know, that something's missing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like realizing the character you're playing isn't the whole of you. It makes the role, the self-story, more workable, more flexible. You're not trapped by it.
Okay, so if our individual identity is a story, what about the bigger ones, the collective narratives? Loy then shifts gears, right? He starts deconstructing some of these powerful, often destructive stories.
Exactly. He zeroes in on things like the story of money and the economy. Its power, he argues, comes entirely from our collective belief in its story. Money itself, paper, digital numbers, has no inherent value. Its power is purely narrative. We agree it has value, so it does.
And he critiques capitalism.
He critiques specifically neoliberal capitalism as a kind of myth of perpetual growth. This story, he argues, fosters greed, competition, huge inequality, and it pushes us against planetary limits. It basically reduces the entire world, including people sometimes, to exploitable resources.
That connects directly to the environmental crisis then.
Absolutely. He tackles that head on in sections like The Story of Progress and Humanity's Place in Nature. This dominant Western narrative, he says, posits this linear march towards some kind of technological utopia achieved by conquering nature.
Seeing nature as something out there to be controlled.
Exactly. This story positions humanity as separate from and superior to the natural world, and that directly justifies the exploitation that causes our climate crisis. Loy suggests this narrative is actually reaching its catastrophic endpoint. It's forcing us to fundamentally rethink our relationship with the planet.
So the environmental crisis isn't just science or policy.
It's a crisis of story, a crisis of our foundational narratives about who we are and where we belong. It's a profound call to understand that connection.
Wow. That's powerful.
Mm.
Which leads us then into the last part of his book, Awakening and Creating New Stories. How does he connect this to something like spiritual practice?
Well, he reframes things like meditation and mindfulness. He sees them as methods, practical methods for deconstructing our personal narratives.
Yeah.
By simply observing our thoughts, you know, without getting carried away by them, without identifying with them.
Noticing them as thoughts.
Yes. We begin to see that the story of me, the constant internal chatter, is largely a fabrication. This insight, he says, creates immense freedom and clarity. So awakening, in this sense, isn't about escaping reality. It's about seeing through the stories that distort it. This allows us to engage with the world more directly, more compassionately.
But just seeing through the old stories isn't enough, is it? You have to build something new.
Precisely. Deconstruction alone isn't the goal. Loy really emphasizes this in the sections on engaged storytelling and social action. We have to consciously create new stories, stories grounded in an understanding of interdependence, not separation.
A new great story.
Yeah, he proposes this idea of a new great story, one rooted in ecological consciousness, where humanity understands itself as an integral part of this vast interconnected web of life, not above it, but within it.
So a story prioritizing cooperation, well-being.
Exactly. Cooperation, well-being, compassion, prioritizing those over endless competition and growth. It's really a powerful call for each of us, you know, you listening right now, to become conscious authors, authors of a more sustainable, a more equitable future.
Okay, so what does this all mean for us? For you, the listener, right here, right now. Let's try to distill Loy's insights into a few key themes. The first huge takeaway has got to be the narrative construction of reality.
Mm-hmm.
Loy's central point. Reality isn't just out there fixed, waiting for us. It's actively constructed through the stories we tell. And this is incredibly empowering, isn't it? It makes us conscious participants in creating reality, mm-hmm. not just passive recipients.
Yeah, think about it in your own life. How often do the stories you tell yourself about what you can or can't do directly impact what you actually achieve? It's not just positive thinking. It's realizing the power of the narrative itself.
Right. It's the story framing the possibility.
Mm.
Okay. Theme two builds on that. The ego self as the primal story and the liberation potential of story awareness.
Yeah. Loy, drawing from Buddhist insights, suggests our very sense of being a separate I. This fixed self is basically a narrative illusion. And this illusion, he argues, often causes this background hum of anxiety or that feeling of lack, like something's missing.
But knowing it's a story helps.
Tremendously. By recognizing these limiting beliefs, I'm not good enough, I always fail, as just stories, we gain the power to rewrite them. Or at least not be completely controlled by them. That internal critic, it's a story. Understanding that can dramatically reduce suffering, open up paths for healing.
Absolutely. Then the third theme Loy really hammers home is the environmental crisis as a story crisis.
Mm.
And the related imperative, we need to create new life-affirming stories.
Mm-hmm. Environmental destruction isn't just a technical problem solved by technology alone. It's fundamentally a crisis of narrative. It stems from stories that teach us we're separate from nature, dominant over it.
So fixing it requires more than just policy.
It requires a radical transformation of those underlying stories. We have to consciously author new narratives, stories of interdependence, ecological symbiosis, compassion, really, for our own survival. Every choice you make, you know, what you buy, how you live, it either reinforces that old destructive story of human dominion, or it contributes in a small way to this new necessary narrative of harmony.
That really brings it home. Okay, and finally, the fourth theme, the interconnection of personal and collective liberation.
Yes, Loy shows us how our personal identity, our self-story, and the social reality we live in are completely intertwined. They co-create each other through narrative. Your individual stories influence the collective ones, and the collective stories definitely shape yours.
So we can't solve big collective crises, climate change, social injustice, without addressing the individual stories.
Mm-hmm.
The ones about separation, lack, the ones driving consumerism and greed.
Exactly. Your personal shift, maybe towards mindfulness, maybe towards living more sustainably, it isn't just for you. It actually contributes to that larger, crucial, collective narrative shift. It helps shape the world we all share.
Loy's book is just packed with these powerful, really memorable lines. Let's share a few that capture these core ideas. Here's one that really hit me. We are not trapped by reality. We are trapped by our stories about reality.
Mm, yeah. That just powerfully emphasizes our agency, doesn't it? Once we see the influence of stories, we get the power back, the power to choose more empowering narratives. It shifts us from feeling like victims of circumstance to potentially conscious creators of our experience.
Okay, here's another from Loy. The emptiness of stories does not make them less real, but makes them more workable.
Yeah, that draws right from Buddhist philosophy, that idea of emptiness or shunyata. Recognizing a story is constructed, that it isn't inherently fixed, doesn't diminish its impact in our lives, but it does make it more malleable and more workable. If a story isn't set in stone, we can adapt it, change it to better serve well-being, both ours and others.
It's about skill then. Skill with our own minds. Okay, here's a third that connects everything. Every story is both a description and a prescription.
Ooh, that's a sharp insight.
Mm-hmm.
Narratives don't just reflect how things are. They actively shape how things will be by influencing our beliefs and our actions. They tell us what is, and subtly they also tell us what should be. They guide our choices.
Right, and that leads to this final one, a guiding principle that really puts the responsibility on us. The question is not whether to believe in stories, but which stories to live by.
Exactly. We can't not live by stories. They're fundamental to how we make sense of the world. So the crucial task, Loy argues, is to consciously choose. Choose the narratives that promote wisdom, compassion, sustainability over the ones that generate suffering and destruction. It really highlights the ethical weight of our narrative choices day to day.
So how do we actually bring these profound insights down to earth? into our daily lives. Let's think about some real-life applications. First, maybe personal identity and self-understanding. We can practice seeing our identity not as this fixed thing, but as an ongoing, editable story.
Mm.
Imagine reframing that negative self-talk. Like, instead of, I am a failure, maybe the story becomes, this is the story of a challenge I faced, and here's what I learned from it.
Yeah, that simple shift, just reframing it as a story about rather than who I am, can dramatically reduce that ego-driven anxiety. It fosters self-compassion.
Okay, what about relationship dynamics and communication? Mm. This seems huge here.
Oh, absolutely. If we recognize relationships themselves as co-created stories, think how that changes conflict. Instead of digging in your heels about what really happened from your side.
Which we all do.
Right. You could instead try exploring the different narrative viewpoints. Maybe asking something like, okay, my story about why this happened is X. What's your story? That simple act can open up empathy, lead to actual collaborative problem solving. It acknowledges there isn't just one true story.
That takes vulnerability, though.
It does, but it's powerful. And then think about consumer choices and lifestyle design. We can consciously examine the stories behind our consumption habits. Are we just unconsciously following cultural scripts about success and happiness equals buying more stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Or can we choose alternatives that align with deeper values? Maybe that means consuming less, supporting local businesses, prioritizing experiences over just accumulating material goods, because those things contribute to a richer, more authentic life story, a story we choose.
And finally, community engagement and social action. How does this apply?
Well, we can apply this idea of narrative transformation to activism itself. Instead of only opposing harmful practices, which is important, we can also focus on creating compelling alternative stories, stories that address the underlying assumptions driving the problems.
Like, instead of just saying no to something,
you create a yes for something better. Developing community narratives that promote, say, local resilience or interdependence can be far more powerful in the long run than just protest. It's about actively building a better future through shared, intentional stories.
This whole deep dive into the world is made of stories, it's been such a powerful reminder for me personally of the incredible agency we actually have. What really surprised me, I think, and what I loved most is that shift it offers. Moving from feeling like a passive recipient of reality to realizing we're active, conscious participants in its creation. Through the stories we choose, the stories we live, it feels incredibly empowering, but also carries a weight of responsibility, doesn't it? Knowing we can rewrite our own stories and that doing so actually contributes to better collective ones.
Yeah, my final thought really centers on that lasting insight light provides. That our personal suffering and these huge global crises, they often share a common root. They spring from flawed, limiting stories. And his framework, it so elegantly bridges that gap between, say, spiritual awakening and practical social action.
And making transformation feel connected.
Exactly, connected and accessible. The lasting value for me is seeing this narrative awareness not just as some abstract philosophical idea, but as a really crucial form of practical wisdom, wisdom that can genuinely help us change our world, you know, one story, one choice at a time.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Ekatra Foundation.